How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
I mean, y'all, as Brother Daniel asked, enjoyed Bible study last night.
Amen.
I thought it was really good. It was a good time of fellowship around the Word of God. And it's nice to see people with hunger.
Yes.
Amen. And asking questions and engaging. And so, really appreciate that. I enjoyed it. I appreciate Brother Daniel and Sister Rick opening their homes and giving us an environment where that would work, and just really enjoyed it. Little Aiden last night, he asked me, he had a scripture he wanted to show me, and so he showed it to me, and I don't remember, it was in Jeremiah, I believe, 32, but the scripture was, "Is there anything too hard for God?" And I thought, well, that's really good, you know, just to see a little young man that scripture is rung out in his heart, and he wanted to share that with me. And so you can't do anything but feel good inside when you see things like that going on.
Amen.
And so I just wanted to say, you know, we try to change out batteries on this lapel before they go bad. And so we do that, try to get about a month's worth out of them. And so we take batteries out, and those batteries may have a little bit of charge left on them still yet. So if any of the young little ones have any toys that use AA batteries and you'd like to have some of those, we'd sure let you take them, and there might not be a lot in there, but there might be. So if you just let me know, we'll sure share some of those with you. Just go ahead and open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. We'll title this today, The Battle of Attributes. The Battle of Attributes. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12, all these scriptures we'll be talking about reading today are very familiar with us. Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the earth, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned." Telling us that when we get there on that day, we look at Satan and we're going to go, this guy is the one that did all that.
Yeah.
So if we don't see him that way now, we've got, you know, blinders on our eyes that need to be removed, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 14 and 15. She has it here on the multimedia screen. 2 Corinthians 11:14. "And no marvel," don't be surprised, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and gave him a name which which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then one more scripture, Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Matthew 23, 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to bow our hearts to you, bow our heads toward the dust that we come from, Lord. We know that this moment, Lord, that lays before us is a very tremendous moment, Lord, here in your house, among your people, with your word open before us. And Lord, we never want to make it look like that a man can open the word to the hearts of your people. Lord, it's only you. And so we ask this morning, knowing, God, that you will, because you promised to be here, we're gathered in your name, Lord, that you will break the bread of life to your children today. Lord, that you will touch everyone, that you would break chains, set free, heal, deliver, and do all the things, Lord, that you so wonderfully do when your presence comes. Lord, let your word be the mighty power that works in your people today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Battle of attributes. And so this morning, as I, you know, I really, this is one of those things where I kind of wish I had a PowerPoint presentation where I could put some images up there, and I'm not going to promise you that I'm not going to come back and do that. Just see how it goes today. And I feel like if the Lord just, you know, everything works and you walk away with what I feel and perceive that the Lord wants you to walk away with today, then maybe we don't do that, but we'll see. And so because of that, I'm the kind of person that talks with my hands anyway, and I, you know, you see me doing that, and I've said this before, you know, that in my mind when I start to a sermon or something, in my mind I'll fix something in a certain, you know, in like I'll point here, I'll point to God here, and maybe I'll point to Satan over here, or whatever it is I start out with, I'll carry that through the service. That's just the way it is, and so you'll have to watch me this morning, because I'm going to use my hands to show things here to try and get get conveyed to you what it is, the thought that I want to this morning. And so you just try to stay attentive, try to look up here, and I'll do my part, you do your part, and then I'm sure the Lord will do his part. And so we read these scriptures, we talked about Satan, Lucifer, what he did, and how that falls down into people, right? How he was exalted himself, and how he and his people, he's transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers are transformed or whatever, and not truly made, but acting out to be ministers of righteousness and so forth. We saw what the Lord Jesus did when he came. And then that last scripture we read there, that when anyone who will exalt himself, they're going to be abased, right? But if you can humble yourself, you can be exalted. And I just want to make a few comments about that. There's three different places that I saw in scriptures, or might be other places, but three that I looked at, where Jesus says this, that if you'll humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And, you know, that's just like anything else the Lord spoke. It's true. And so today I just pray that the Lord will allow us to see this in another realm, another level, about this exalting and humbling. And so you pray for me, and then you just pull on the gift, and we'll let the Lord do the rest. And so, but in the scriptures there where he's talking about if you will humble yourself, you'll be exalted, that first one there, we just read the scripture, but if you go before it, this is where the disciples, as they're going to be ministers of the gospel, and they're talking among themselves, and they want to know who's going to be the great one among them. And so the Lord has to talk to them about, you know, it says that if you're going to be a great one among you, you've got to be a servant. You've got to humble yourself, you know, and so a great servant of the people You know, that's how you're great. You're not great by the things that man thinks is great, but you're great through humility. And so, and that was in Matthew. Then in Luke chapter 14, he talks about it again. And in this case, this is where he's talking about when you're bid to a feast. You come to the feast, and when you come in, don't take the high position in the best place in the house. Take the low seat, because if you take the high seat, then somebody more honorable than you comes in, and the man of the house will come to you and say, you need to go sit down there. This place is for this other guy that's more honorable than you, and you would be embarrassed. Yeah. But if you'll always take the low seat, then the master of the house would come in and say, Brother Daniel, why are you down there? You belong up here. Right? So he's telling that concept, and there again it says, if you will humble yourself, you will be exalted. And so, and that was in Luke 14, and then in Luke 18 he talks about it again. And this is the example where he talks about the Pharisee coming in and the publican coming in, and they're both praying. They're in the house of God and they're praying, and the Pharisee says in prayer, he's like, God, I thank you that I'm not like that publican over there. I fast and I tithe and I do all these things and I'm not like him. Jesus is telling this story.
Yeah.
Right? But Jesus said, but then that publican, that sinner that wasn't like that righteous Pharisee, self-righteous Pharisee, I'll say that. He said, he didn't even so much as lift his up. He just smote himself on the chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went out more justified than that Pharisee and that Sadducee. And he said it again, that if you'll humble yourself, you will be exalted.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, applying that scripture to different circumstances in life. About ministry, who's the great one among ministry, right? About just common everyday, who we are among each other. And then in our worship, and in how we treat others who, as we fight this fight of faith, and how we look on others, as we talked about last night in Bible study, that we have no right to look down on someone else because you don't know what they're going through. And so all of these scriptures, they all apply to those, and probably you can apply them to a lot more than that. So, but I want to just move on now. So God is way up here. You know, the scripture says highly exalted and so forth. He's high up. So God's up here. And, you know, he's perfect. He's righteous. No one can go higher than him. Nobody can even be that high, but nobody can be higher. And even God himself cannot go higher than he is because he's already as high as can be. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody can be more righteous. Nobody can have more wisdom. More mercy, more grace, more character. Nobody can be higher, and even God can't be higher because he's already as high as he can be.
Right.
Okay? I think of it this way, that when you go up into the realm of God, you burst out into infinite, infinite mercy, infinite wisdom, infinite power. And how could anything ever be higher than that? It's just him. That's who he is up there in that realm. Full of holiness and righteousness and wisdom, power, healing, judgment, grace, mercy. All those things way up there. And as I said, you know, he can't even go any higher because he's already there. In the scriptures, he was saying one time when he sware to Abraham. And it said, and because God could swear by nobody, scripture says that usually when a person swears, they swear to someone greater than themselves.
Yeah.
Right? So, but when God would swear, the scripture said, because he could swear by nobody greater, because there was nobody greater.
Yeah.
Then he said, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. So he swore to himself, by himself, right?
Yeah.
He, in other words, you know, we swear and we're saying, I'm telling you how serious this is, so serious that it's to a higher power than me. That's how I want to make sure you understand how serious I am about this vow or this swear or whatever. You know, the scripture tells us not to swear, right? But you understand the concept. But when God could say to Abraham, I want you to understand just how serious this is. He had nobody else to swear greater than him. It was himself. Because God is up here. And so, that's who he is. He is all these things. Righteousness and all these things. And that's life. Life is up there. That's who he is. I said Wednesday night, I said, Jesus never acted himself in an arrogant way or disrespectful. He never acted disrespectful. If anybody had a right to do it, he could have, but he never did. And I said, because if he would have, he would have had to stoop down to something that really wasn't part of him. Because he just doesn't have that in him. And so, you know, kind of today, people want to identify as being something they're not. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at? Their genetics, and you can tell who they are. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, God is who he is. Right. And the scripture tells us there's no darkness in him at all.
Right.
He can't lie. He's not a man that he'd lie. Not the son of man he'd repent. See, so there's nothing negative in God at all. It's all positive and it's all life. Right? Because he's up here. But now when you look at Lucifer, Lucifer is down here.
Right.
And Lucifer is the lowest of the low. He can't even go lower himself because he's as low as you can get.
Yeah.
Nobody can be as low as him because it's him. That's his spot, his position. And if there was such an attribute of Lucifer, which there isn't, you know, infinite evil. He's not infinite, but you understand.
Right.
Everything evil and negative, everything contrary to God lays there, and it's down here, and you can't go any lower than him. That's as low as you can go. You can't be worse than Satan because he's the source of where evil comes from. And so, just like God's the highest, and nobody can be greater than him because he's the source of any of those things. So Lucifer's way down here. He's a thief, a liar, he's a murderer, a liar, a father of it. So all deception, every siren you ever heard, every pain you ever had in your body, all those things come from that realm down there where Satan is. That's him. That's who he is. Can you see the contrast? That's who he is. And it's death. He's death. It's death. That realm is death. Now, because God is up here and can't go any higher, then the only thing that God can do is come down. God is that. But he can come down and act like and pretend like he's something lesser than what he is up there. And that's what he did. He come down as a man. But he come down, humbled himself from that high position he's in of what he really is. He can stand up there and say, hey, I'm the only source of life there is. And he's right, and he's not bragging because that's who he is. But he come down from that and act like he's something less. And come down into lower life form or lower manifestation and look like he was limited. And he did. Limited himself to headaches and to hunger and needing to rest. And just like we know Jesus did. So God condescend down because that's all he could do. Come down into this realm down here and act out lower. He humbled himself and became less. And he did that. In doing that humbling down, that was his work of redemption. That's how he saved man. He didn't save man by staying up there and being this mighty God and up there, as I've said before, him up there and say, you come up here where I'm at.
Right.
He couldn't do that. He had to come down to help us and become one of us. So the whole thing, what I'm showing you is that God humbled himself, and that humility brought life to all of us.
Right.
Yeah.
He came down that he might take us back with him.
Yeah.
And that's God, and that's his work. That's what he did. And you see, though down here, looking just as just a man, whether it be prophets or whether it be the Lord himself, or whether it be you or me, God humbled himself and came down and took up on him flesh and identified with weakness, identified with pain, had his back whipped and died the death of miserable creatures. Right?
Yeah.
And this, he came down and did that. And while down here, though he looked miserable, he went through miserable things or whatever, he was identified with man, the righteous. When they look at that, they know that this guy here is really this one up here. They know that this that we're looking at, that's happening in front of us or around us in a ministry or in our church and in the lives of people, we look at it, we realize, yeah, it's just, the whole world will look and say, well, it's just brother, it's just Daniel, it's just another person. We're no different than anybody else to them. But to people who are the righteous and Christians, you look out and you can see the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that even though he's in that form, it's really the man, the one that was up here. Your revelation tells you that. But the wicked, when they look at that same manifestation, they don't realize that that's God that has come down. They identify it as some evil thing like Beelzebub or something like that. But you realize it was him who came down, and by revelation we recognize that, and we recognize this is the work of God. This is, and as he come down and does those things, whether he came down in Moses or whoever, all the different ones, especially the Lord Jesus, and in our day, Brother Branham, and then in our lives, when he comes down, everything that God does in a humbled fashion is tied to the life of that realm that he is. So when he's going about doing things, it's all to promote that kingdom, that life, everything that he is. And the righteous catch that and realize this is a pathway to life. This is righteousness on display. This is God who's humbled himself in a people, in Christ, and yet in his people, a people who have to suffer, a people who have to be mistreated. But we know it's him. And so what I want you to really understand is this down here is really this one up here. That's who he is. Now, we look at Lucifer. Look at Satan, the devil. He's down here. He can't go any lower. But what can he do? He can try to exalt himself. He does. He exalts himself higher.
Right.
So what's he doing? He's trying to make himself out to be something that he's not.
Right.
See, he's the opposite of what the Lord did. The Lord come down and acted out things that he might take his subjects and take them back with him.
Yeah.
But here's Lucifer down here, the lowest of the low, and he can't sell you much goods when he comes to you and says, hi, I'm the devil, and I'm here to make you have pain and sorrow in your life. So what does he do? He has to come up higher and to exalt himself and begin to act like something that he's not. And he deceives the whole world in it. So he's come up higher and he's acting out things, and he creates great religious systems and great government systems and all the things the world have to offer, and makes it look appealing, and people look at that and they think, oh, this is wonderful and this is great and all that. They don't realize it's this guy down here. But the righteous do. The righteous people of God, when they look at that, when they're filled with the Holy Ghost and God is working in their life, now they look at that and they can understand, you know what? That's nothing but the devil. That's this guy down here that's transformed himself to look like something else. And the righteous know that everything that Satan does, when he rises up and expresses himself in some way, that death is tied to that because that's who he is. And so he has come up to express himself and to do all these things. And all that he can gather in through all that nonsense, he takes him back where he comes from. Doing exactly the opposite of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Because everything he does, Satan does, it's got death in it. You know, it's everything, when he opens his mouth, you realize Satan to Eve, he preached part of the word. But did you know that they'll tell you that to make a lie believable, you have to have some truth in it? So Lucifer had to transform himself into something that looked right, that looked good. But the righteous know that the end product of him opening his mouth, regardless of what it sounds like and what he's saying, we know the end product of what he's doing is to take people back to that realm with him. To trick us, deceive us, because we know that's all he can do. He's not righteous. He's just pretending to be. He's not God. He just wants to be. You see? Two totally different realms. Two totally different characters. Two totally different attributes. And so this is the attributes of humility and the attributes of exaltation, self-exaltation. God can exalt someone and it's God. But when it's self-exaltation, as I've said in the past in the workplace, you can't just come in someday and say, you know what? I've decided I'm going to move up and become manager of this place. You can't do that. But if somebody higher than you in authority does that, then you see it works. Right? But you have to see that only thing Satan can do, could either just stay there where he was at, or he could try to self-exalt to become something greater than he really is and deceive people in the process. And the Lord Jesus Christ, all he could do, God could come, was humble himself to come down that he could get his subjects and take them with him. And so that's the two attributes here that I want to, I'm talking about the battle of two attributes. And so when Jesus says that if man humbles himself, he'll be exalted. Think about what he's saying here. Satan cannot humble himself. His only avenue is to try and exalt. God's avenue is to humble himself. These are attributes of an attribute of God and an attribute of the devil. Right. Exaltation is an attribute of the devil, self-exaltation.
Right.
But humility, Satan doesn't have a humble bone in his body. He can't humble himself. He just can't do it.
Right.
Because that puts him right back down where he is, who he is, and he gets nothing done that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so these two attributes of humility or self-exaltation is what we're talking about this morning, the battle between them. And so when Jesus said, if anybody who will humble himself, they're going to be exalted. You know, we have the phrase, well, the way up is down, right? But look at what he's saying, or what Jesus is saying here is, what he's doing is he's identifying the family of the children of God and the children of the wicked one. Because the children of God can humble themselves because that's an attribute of God. And he humbles himself and they will humble themselves and come down. But you find that there are people and religious people and they will not humble themselves. And we can talk about some cases here in just a little bit. And so, when the Lord is saying this, says, look, you know, knowing the family of God and knowing that the attribute of God is in his children and saying, If you'll humble yourself, you're going to be exalted because you're part of the family of God. You've got that attribute. But if you exalt yourself, then you belong to that other group, and the only thing that can happen to you is for you to be taken right back down low. Okay? So, the ungodly cannot humble themselves when they're influenced by Satan. You know, we are triune beings. Body, spirit, soul. And our bodies, we're tied to that exaltation, self-exaltation. We're tied to that realm. And before you become a Christian, you know, Brother Branham tells us, it's a controversy in the message. I don't know why. But Brother Branham makes it very clear that, you know, in your flesh, that's just fallen nature. And then in your spirit, it can be anointed with worldly stuff, or you can be anointed with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and that moves back and forth or whatever. As Christians, you want it to stay on the godly side. But then Brother Branham said that in your soul, it's only one thing in there, one or the other. It's either faith or doubt. You either belong to God or you don't. But now that's an attribute that lays in there, and before you're born again, it's a dormant seed of God that lays there. And so what dominates your life until you have a new birth is that bad realm. It's in your flesh, it's in your spirit, and it's not been quickened to you yet. And so everything about you is just worldly, worldlyism. You think about worldly things, you have no desire for God, whatever, all those things. And so, but then when you become a Christian, when you're born again, when that seed gene of life out of your soul is quickened now, your flesh still points to that wicked side. And like I said, as a Christian, hopefully you'll spend all your time in the Holy Spirit and Satan won't get a hold of your mind and get you to think things. But in your soul now you've got a seed of God there that's alive, and that seed is not part of that wicked side. The scriptures tell us, and Brother Brown tells us, see, that's the real you. And that part of you never has sinned and will never sin. Never will. And that's really who you are. And that's who God put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Him. Because he's never guilty of disbelieving, because he's part of the family. So what? He's on this side over here. He's that righteous side. And you won't find in him self-exaltation. You'll find in him humility. Because that's the gene of God. That's the side that is in that family of God. And this is what Jesus is telling us. If you're part of that group, if you'll humble yourself, you're going to be exalted and taken right up into the kingdom of heaven, because that's part of who you are. But if you're not that, if you're over here and you exalt yourself, you're part of that other side, because that's not found in the family of God. Then it's over there. And you're going to be abased. You're going to be taken down. In one place, when he talks about the stone, he said, and those that fall on this rock will be broken, but if the rock falls on you, you'll be ground into powder. Again, talking about the same thing here. And so Jesus, when he's saying it, I see him talking about the family of God and the children of the wicked one, and declaring who they are by two attributes, talking about two different attributes. Those who can humble or those who exalt themselves. And you know as well as I do right now, today, in your flesh, every one of us, there's something in us that wants to exalt. There's something in us that wants to be, to brag. There's something in us that wants to, in settings, maybe embellish stories or embellish maybe what you've done, or that's part of what's in the fallen flesh. It's there. As Christians, we don't give into that. We're not supposed to, right? If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, tied to this other realm, you don't. But my point is that's in there. That's in your fallen flesh. It's still there. The new birth didn't take that out. A body change will. But the new birth did not take that out. And so as believers, as Christians, we're, you know, the scriptures, we read it last night. The word of God is quick and powerful, you know. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart. It knows what the difference is between joints and marrow. And it knows, the word knows what's what. It knows what's flesh, and it knows what is joints, and it knows what's marrow of the bone, and it knows what's the spirit, and it discerns all these things. And so when we get influenced by the word, we begin to understand what part of our life, what part of us belongs to that realm of the devil, and what part of us belongs to the kingdom of God. And you'll find out as Christians real quick, I know my flesh is not saved. Right? But you should also know, as a Christian, something happened inside me and I'm not what I used to be. Right. What's doing that? The word of God is declaring that to you because it's quick and it's powerful and it's showing us what's what. We're understanding that because we're being led by that. And so just for you to understand that this is in us, in our flesh. But in that soul realm, you cannot find an attribute that sins. Or the word of God's wrong. So in there is not self-exaltation. In there is not boasting. In there is not trying to make, there's not an attribute there to try and make ourselves out something more than what the way we are. If anything, as part of God, the only thing we can do is humble ourselves and act like, pretend like, We're not even what we are. Remember Jesus said, now don't tell anybody what happened. See this family of God attribute? Don't boast, don't just keep it quiet. Knowing full and well that the family of God will look at that and say, that's God. He might be telling us not to be telling about it. He might be trying to humble, but I see a gift of God that ties right straight to heaven. The wicked, the unrighteous, the world will look at it and call it all kinds of things. They don't see what it is. Right. But the righteous look and they know that's God that's come down, that's speaking through this gift or working through this man. We recognize that. And we know it's the way of life because God's done that. And so we know that as, so Jesus is telling us, listen, this family doesn't do those things. This family does not have self-exaltation. This family walks in humility. Yeah. Because that's what he did, and that's how he won the whole thing, was through his humility. Right. So Jesus is saying, here's the family of God, and here is the family, I want to say Satan, but it's, as the scripture said, the children of the wicked one. Yeah. And so here we are as Christians, and the word has got to cause us to discern what's in us. And we can see, you know what? There are times when I want to brag. I'm just, you know, there's times when you do. There's a something about you that says, hey, I want people to recognize I'm the one that made the success on this project at work. I'm the one that did this. Right? If there was anybody who had a right to say, I'm the one, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't. Because if he would have done that, if he would have blessed his way through and made everybody recognize, he wouldn't have won our redemption. See? So there is no virtue in making everybody recognize who you are. The virtue is in humbling yourself. And you know yourself, God is in you. This is God that's come down that has done something in my life. And yet, we know from scriptures, as we'll talk about it, we are not commanded of scriptures to exalt ourselves and say, you need to listen to me, I'm a son of God. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're trying to, and so you see that attribute there. And so, as we are trying beings, we recognize there's a part of us that's ungodly. And he wants to declare himself. And there's a part of us that says, I deserve for the doctor to do a better job of scheduling for me. And I can say that because I've had that problem this week myself. Okay, so hey, Brother Tim going through it, different ones. See, the flesh would say, I deserve better than that. Don't you know who I am? But the family of God doesn't do that. Even in themselves, they might know, you know, I wish they would do a better job than that. But we don't force ourselves, and that's the way of the devil. I'm just going to come through here and I'm going to lay the whole thing out. They'll know that they've been told off when I get through telling them off. That's not God. That's not an attribute. You're like, I'm just going to give him a piece of my mind. That's the devil. Because when God's working in your life, you don't want to do that. You don't have a desire for those things. As I said Wednesday night, used to be God sent a prophet, then it's what did he say, and now is what he said now living in us. Can we be Jesus Christ on this earth? Because we know we're on the hour that's what God is, that's where it's at. That God is now living in a bride, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, no arrogance, just humility, living the word for their day, not trying to boast anything, knowing that the family of God and all the elect of God, when they see it, they'll recognize that it's God and the rest of the world won't. Does that make sense? But we have to discern that in us. So that when you find in yourself something that wants to make yourself known, you know that's not of God. In that moment, you know you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. See, we are to judge ourselves, like Brother Daniel said last night in our Bible study. Our job as Christians is to take this gospel, this Holy Ghost, the ministry, the word, everything that God has provided for us, and to take that and judge ourselves while we're here. Because we're not going to do it there, because death doesn't change us. We've got to reach that place here before our body changed. So we are to judge ourselves by the word so that when that time comes, we will not be judged because we've done it now. Right. And that's what we're talking about. To look at ourselves and recognize the arrogant part, the thing that tries to work in us, that wants our way and wants to, and all that, and recognize that's not part of the family of God. The family of God knows that, you know what? No matter what happens, this earth, no matter what this unrighteous generation does to me, that does not change the fact that I've got something in me that's up here. Amen. And Jesus was that example, and Brother Branham was that example in our day too. Amen. So we are to judge ourselves. We're to overcome. What do we overcome? We overcome ourselves. Brother Branham tells us in a sermon called Humble Myself. He says, you know, people want power and really they don't know what power is. They don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down always. If you want power, see how humble you can. Just get away from all your worldly thinking and humble yourselves before God, and then you've got more power than the man that runs all over the building making a lot of noise, because you have been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ, to humble yourself before him. That's really power. You show me a church that's humble, real humble, not an arrogant church, just a sweet, humble church, and I'll show you a church that has favor and power of God in it. That's right. That's the thing it takes, humility, humbling ourselves before God and letting God just work through us, and we don't have to make a lot of noise. You know, the scripture said, even Jesus, he wasn't out here making a big to-do in the streets, right? He didn't lift up his voice. Smoke, you know, the smoking flax he didn't quench and all those things. Jesus had a humble. Because I think I said the other day, does when the spoken word is spoken, does it have to bring out really loud? Does it have to be a shout? Can it be a whisper? Mm-hmm. Jesus, when he came to this earth, was a whisper. Mm-hmm. See, God doesn't need great big showmanship. He knows that the elect will catch the word even in the humble form that it is. Mm-hmm. He knows they catch it. Mm-hmm. And that's all he's after. He's not after the whole world. He's not trying to convert the whole world. But what does Satan do? Big things, great churches, big programs, man of the hour. See what I mean? And we've got to purge ourselves of these things. We've got to realize that the real attribute and family of God is a humble thing. And we don't want just chasing after all the lights and all the glory and all the big things. Because it's humility. He goes on, and like we read in the scriptures there where he talked about the disciples. They were like, who's great among you? And so forth. They said, humble yourself. Brother Bram goes on, and he starts talking about that, about ministry. And he said, I was talking to a man the other day. He said, well, it's Brother Bose. I mentioned him the other day. In the church where he was, he said, they had a great church there for so long, and the Lord was blessing, and then the people got to a place where they wanted to polish it up like the rest of them. And they wanted to throw it into an organization. And when they did, those humble Christians, remember humble? Humble Christians in there didn't want that. All their life they'd been taught against it. So they walked away from it. So you follow me, this big church, and the big church decided they want to be part of an organization and all in big thing, and there were people in there, real Christian. They said, no. And so they left. And now they've started another church, as he's going to say, and they're looking for a pastor. And so it said they didn't want that, and so they've been taught against it, and so they walked away from it. And now they've got a group, and the Lord is blessing them until they're coming in into a big place, and now again for a church now that puts up about 4,000 or 5,000 people. So this group is that didn't want part of that has been blessed, and they're starting over. They've got a place now that can seat a lot of people. And Brother Branham said, and they came to me and said, Brother Branham, what must we do? And Brother Branham said, find a man that's a shepherd that has no reputation in all the denominations. You know, one that's just a real good, genuine, sweet, humble brother that lives a life, and God will take care of the rest. See, I said a good pastor that'll just feed the sheep and be humble in things, and God will do the rest. Not some big know-it-all coming in, and he's going to put this in order, and he's got to put this away and cut things around. Brother Ben said, I said it'll never work. So his instructions, see, as a prophet, he has to stay with scriptures. And he has to tell us, listen, it's humility is the family of God. And then the opposite of that is arrogance. And so I don't want you to forget that God can only come down. Right? And Lucifer, all he can do is try and exalt. And both of those attributes you can have working in you to try and express itself. And so, but as I've already said, the family of God, they don't have that in their soul. Might be in their flesh, but it's in their soul. They don't have the attribute to do that. And so, and when you think about this, think of the politicians. If you took a politician who was a gifted man and he stayed over here on the righteous side and just humbled, he couldn't stand up and boast and say, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm your man, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. It won't work. So all you have in politics is all these people who are boasting. I'm the one. I'll take care of this. I'm going to come in, and I'll fix things, and they don't fix nothing. Where's it? So what realm is that in? It's not in the realm of God. It's the realm of self-exaltation. It's all under the kingdoms of Satan. Politics. And the prophet told told us that. All of them are, they're all, Satan's got his hands on all of them, right? That's just another way to show you that it's that's the way it is. So we as Christians, we don't put any confidence in all that. You know? It's not going to make a difference. But what do we put our confidence in? What do we look at? What do we desire in our own lives? It's to have the attribute of God. And we've got to come to a place and understand and discern by the word that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. We've got to come to the place and discern in us what part doesn't belong in our walk. And live according to the gospel. Walk in humility. To humble ourselves and become obedient. And so, when we read the scriptures there, where it said, let this mind, and this was a commandment from Paul, where he's telling us, let this mind be in you. That was in Christ Jesus. Was that Jesus was God who came down in a humble form to save us. So let this mind be in you. And what mind was in Jesus? Well, Paul described it. That he was in the form of God. God had come down. He was in the form of God. But as a man. And so as a man, he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. And I've focused on this in the past, see, that you must come to the place to realize that God is in you. And it's not robbery for you to realize that God is in you. And that as a bride of Christ, you're brought up equal to him, right? And Paul says, let that be in you, that you don't think it's robbery to know that God is in you, that you're equal with God because he's in you, right? So let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but what did he do? Because he knew he was God, did he stand up and boast himself? No. He humbled himself. He humbled. How far did he humble himself? This one up here came so low that he washed the feet of the very dust of the earth and died for them. That's how humble he went. But he went even further than that. He humbled himself so far. Who was he? Life. Eternal life. But life humbled itself so low that he submitted himself to death. And not only death, because he couldn't die in that form, right? He had to come flesh. And then he come flesh and died. And not only death, but the humiliated death of being crucified. The death of the cross. So how much humility is in the family of God? However much it takes. Whatever it takes to get the job done in your life, if that attribute's there, it's an attribute to humble yourself like Christ did. Be misunderstood, be mistreated, suffer, but cannot, while going through those things, exalt oneself. So you go through trials, sicknesses. So he humbled him. What did he humble himself to? He humbled himself to whatever it was that God needed him to go through to get the job done. Follow me? So what do you have to humble yourselves to? To whatever God is allowing to take place in your life. You humble yourself as a Christian. And if that means you have to turn your back to the whip, you turn your back to the whip. Because he did. If that means we have to endure with some sickness for a while to learn something, we do it anyway, right? We serve God anyway. See? Because the same thought as I think we were talking about last night, some after Bible study. You know, if Satan gets us to think that the only way we have victory is miracles take place, the divine healing, and we don't go through nothing, well then that means Jesus wasn't victorious when he died. Right? But Jesus was victorious when he died, right? And so sometimes God has us go through something. And as we go through that, we're victorious because we're serving God even though we're going through trials. But then if God drops a revelation in your heart that you still belong to him, and I'm still walking this world, and I'm in the family of God, and I'm not going to exalt myself, and I know that what's in me is tied to that kingdom of heaven, and I know that one day he will exalt me, no matter what I'm going through here now. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what we do. Willing to be obedient, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted. Why was it that God did it could exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? Was because he humbled himself. If he would have never humbled himself, he could have never been exalted. Wherefore, and Paul is saying, let that mind be in you. To humble yourself even to the death of the cross, as Jesus did, whatever we have to go through. Never be surprised at what humanity can do. Never be surprised at what they can do to you or to your family, your loved ones, or this church. Because look where they come from. Look what's motivating them. The lowest of the low is trying to manifest himself through them. And they can do, you couldn't even imagine what they're capable of, because it comes from him. But I want to tell you something, at the same time, when you get on this side over here, in the righteous side, you can't even imagine what God can do through a humble group of people. And brother, sister, we are called to come to that 100% because listen, we can't have arrogance and things like that still resident in our experience. It's going to be in your flesh until your body changes. But we've got to learn what that part is and put that in subjection so that we quit acting sometimes arrogant. Quit acting like we're somebody. We're nobody. You know what I'm saying? We take the path that Christ took. And by that, we're getting somebody, our testimony. Like I think we was talking about Sister Pansy. She's in the condition she's in. And for us, we'd say, Lord, just go ahead and take her. But you know, her family's watching that. And her family has to see. She is rock solid in her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even like this, she doesn't waver. Brother, sister, that testimony's worth worlds. God will do the same thing through you. See, let him take care of how he does it, and he will use your life to touch others in ways you don't know. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, I said a while ago, you know, we got to have miracles. Brother, sister, as we read in the quote, the miracle is that you've been able to conquer yourself. There's the miracle. God can do things. He can do mighty healings. We've seen it, and he will. Because he's God. But see, we don't come in and say, well, praise God, unless somebody spoke in tongues today, we didn't have a good service. That's what the Pentecostals do. We can come in and say, praise God, you know, well, nobody rejoiced and shouted and said, amen, amen, Brother Tony, Brother Daniel. So we didn't have a good service. He didn't lift up his voice and cry in the street. Smoking flax he didn't quench. Right? We've got to start looking for the right thing and quit looking at this other stuff that amounts to nothing. Amen?
Amen.
There's a real genuine attribute of God, and that is the attribute of humility. Almost done. The miracle is that you've been able to conquer yourself. And that's what Brother Bram said there. That's it. You've been able to conquer yourself. And so, don't miss this part. You remember we've got this quote where we say, when the bride, when she, I forget how the quote starts, but when she can see the two spirits, the Antichrist spirit and the Holy Spirit, when she can see those two spirits in the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand that Antichrist spirit, she becomes an invincible army. Remember that quote? So I'm going to bring that in here. So when with what I'm saying here, when you can look at yourself and you see in your flesh this self-exaltation side, but then you look in your spiritual life and your soul and you see work that God's doing, and you see that in that there's never the Holy Spirit inspire you to be arrogant or exalt yourself, and you see that in your own walk, what are you doing? You're discerning. Because the Word of God is discerning in you. You're judging yourself. You're discerning. You're discerning what part belongs to, and this has got to pass away, and this other part can't pass away. And so we're endeavoring to live totally and completely to this other side, and to do everything we can to destroy that black dog, because it's a white dog, black dog. And so we're discerning. You're discerning the two things in you. Two spirits in the framework, because both of those want to work, and you are discerning this in your own life, and now you're combating that. But when you can do that, when you can see in yourself this happening, and you also can look out in the world and you can see what politics is, and you can see what a lot of ministers are and a lot of churches are, and you can see you're discerning what's righteous, what's the family of God or humility, and what's not, that's a bunch of self-exaltation and so forth, you're discerning. And by the Spirit of God, you're not letting that other side influence you. So you're coming to a place where you don't chase after the great big programs and the big church meetings and the big things like that. You're not chasing after the world and all of what the world says is great things and denomination or whatever it is. You come to the place through discernment that you quit chasing after those things that is where Satan has exalted himself, trying to catch your attention and make you look at something that's not leading to life. And you discern that and you start withstanding that. And that's what I'm trying to say is when you come to that and you read by the Word of God, you begin to discern that these things are going on in you and you see it in the world and you quit letting those things take place in you and you quit letting the world influence you, are you not discerning the two spirits in the framework of the church? Isn't that what's going on? When you can look that godliness does not exalt itself, that God gets the work done in humility, knowing that everybody that's predestinated is going to catch it. But yet when you look at this other side and they've got bigger programs and more people, and you know the story how it is with hybrid religion and all that. But when you begin, and that's the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist system. That's over there. The devil in it. Transforming himself into angels of light and his ministers into ministers of righteousness. But discernment will look at it and say, I don't see humility. I see self-exaltation. Let me make it a little bit stricter than that. You might see times what looks like humility. Because a man can act humble when really what he's wanting to do is exalt himself. Yeah. And uses a false humility to do it. You know there's false humility.
Right.
And you can see that. And so, but you realize you can't fool the Word of God. And so when now we've come to Jesus Christ coming into bride form, where now we have the Word, the discerner in us, and now we begin to discern these things, and we're looking, and first of all, it starts in the house of God and then goes out. So the first thing we see in us, the things that aren't right, and start purging those out. And then we can look at it, we can see the world, and we can see that a lot of the things that people call wonderful, great things, and even in the message, is self-exaltation.
Yeah.
And that can only fall. That can only be crushed at some point. God doesn't stop it. He didn't stop Lucifer. Right? But we want discernment to get us to this side where we realize I want the life of Jesus Christ in me, and that's not trying to vindicate myself or vindicate my church. My family, or whatever it is, my whatever. That's not even, it's not even to vindicate Christianity. Brother Ramsey said, God's program is not to convert people, you know, through its government to Christianity. That's not it at all. But it's for the word to be lived, and those predestinated seeds will catch it. That's what it is. Not through exalting, but humility.
Right.
And so we realize, even in this, there are people who's got different natures, okay? But the word of God discerning will help us discern and realize what's what. Men have different natures. You can have a man that's a lot more fiery in his preaching. That doesn't mean he's exalting himself. That's just his nature. But discernment will help us see the things that are of that other side. See, when Brother Branham comes along this ministry, and now you've got all these people, and they see this ministry, and they're going out, and they're saying, let me show you God sent a prophet and all that, and they're going out and spreading the gospel, the message around the world. And just bear with me as I say this. Not their judge, but I think you'll understand. They're going out and doing this, and there's not a humble bone in their body. And so, I mean, you can see it with Peter. Peter was so, you know, you're like, he wasn't humble. Well, when the Lord first came to him, he's like, go away from me. I'm unworthy. I'm a sinful man. Humble. That's the attitude he should have had. But you find later on, he's arrogant again. So arrogant that he's willing to rebuke the Lord when the Lord says, you know, what's going to, oh no. And so Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan, because he knew that wasn't Peter. That was Peter giving way to this other side. But here's the thing. Peter, at that moment, they had a great ministry and all these things were going on and Jesus was the man of the hour and Peter was part of that. And man, and Jesus said, now, this whole ministry's got to fall away because I got to go be crucified. And Peter's like, no. I'm enjoying what's going on. I don't want this to happen. See what I mean? And a lot of these men out here preaching this message on, but man, oh, we got the mess of the hour and all that. But then, when questions arise about the message, what do those men do? They couldn't humble themselves. They couldn't just say, you know what? At some point, my walk comes with God comes to the place where I can't explain it. I can't make other people see what I'm seeing. They have to have that revelation. And my walk has to come to the place where I'm going to be despised, rejected, that someone who had dipped in the sop with me is now turning against me. And I have to submit myself to obedience of the cross or to the death. I've got to hum. I'm not going to try and boast and I'm going to explain what's going on here. And so what did these men do? They turned against the message instead of humbling themselves and saying, I can't explain it, but I'm staying with God. What they do, they turned on the message and began to blast it and say it was false and say it was wrong. And what was it for? Because they themselves didn't have a humble bone in their bodies. Follow me? That's the way it is. But we are, as Christians, we are called to come to the place where that stuff is purged out of us. We don't let it live in us, and we don't let it influence us, and we don't endorse it to influence it. Now, doesn't mean you can't go to meetings and stuff. You understand? But we're talking about a family of God and attributes. And I said, you know, I was just thinking this morning, discerning the two spirits in the framework of the church, is it that simple? We've looked at all these great things and all, how are we going to know if the Antichrist, how are we going to know? Because he can do all these things all the way to the point to see the very elect impossible, which is not possible, right? So, but we're all, oh, how are we going to, but maybe it's just this simple. That if you can look and you can see that it's humble versus that other side. Is it that simple how we can discern? Because they preach the message too. They have bigger meetings than some of these over here do. How are you going to know? Because yes, brother, sister, Antichrist is working in the message too. Message churches. How are you going to know? Is it that simple? Jesus said, if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. Then that means it can't be part of that other side. Because if it was part of that other side, he couldn't be exalted. But when you look over here and you see, as they have self exalting themselves, they will be brought down. Then you know they can't be part of that other side. Because if they were, they'd go up. He would take them up. Very clear. So is it that simple that we can discern the two spirits in the framework of church to realize the one that does have the character of Christ and the one that doesn't? Even though it's very, very close. Think about it. With these attributes, as I said a while ago, anything can happen. The world, ungodly people, don't be surprised when they're in that realm of what they might do. But also, the godly side, with that attribute of humility, that God looks down and has great favor on, because that's his nature. Because that's all he could do is come down. And in coming down, and in you coming down, you're helping others. And you suffering, you're helping others. Because that's what it is. Death, God doesn't waste pain. So, no matter what happens to you, what this world does to you, the believer is always finished well. Mm-hmm. Amen. How many wants to finish well?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Whether or not you finish well has nothing to do with what the world does.
Right.
It has to do with your attitude toward God's program of humility. Mm-hmm. Just humbly living that word. Isn't that what Brother Rose said at the end of the seals? Don't try to put your interpretation. Don't try to exalt. Don't try. Did we have people do it? Sure, we had them do it. He just said, just live a sweet, humble life every day. Come together, love one another. Amen. You will find we have something very special in this little church. It's God's doings. We're thankful for that. Just remember, as Brother Brandon would say to his church, you know, Satan don't like that. He wants to stop it, right? And it's our job to protect it. It's our job, when I say our job to protect it, the Lord will do it, but it's our job to stay vigilant, to know. And the best way you can do that is to let the word that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, let that word discern in you. Amen? May the Lord bless you as the musicians come. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, in your word, Lord, as we just get caught up into the realm of the sphere of your word, you would see such a magnificent plan. Lord, when we're down in our earthly thinking, it's sometimes hard to grasp. But Lord, we know and we believe that through the ministry and preaching of the word, that you drive back the things that would hinder our thinking. And so, Lord, as we stand here at this moment just now, knowing that your people have listened attentively, the God, that your word has worked in their lives today and helping them, has spoke to them. And Lord, while we're still here in this environment, we just pray, God, that you will help each one just to latch hold of these things. Lord, that they begin to see and understand this great word of God that discerns is now living, working in them. And that, Lord, that they want to let that discernment affect their lives. I pray, Lord, that you just let that be the case with each one. Lord, keep doing what you're doing. We see these little young ones that are interested in your word. We pray, God, just that you keep doing that. It's a cry in our heart that, Lord, that if you tarry, and those of us that are older, we just want to leave behind those that can continue to run and carry this gospel message. So we pray, God, you just continue to do what you're doing each life, young and old, in between. Lord, that your word will keep hacking away things that's not of you out of our lives. We love you and we appreciate all that you do, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.